Here's a number that should make you pause. $400,000. That's how much less the average woman will earn compared to her male counterpart over a lifetime. Not because she works less hard, not because she's less qualified, simply because she's a woman. This staggering wealth gap persists even as we celebrate progress in women's rights, lurking beneath headlines about equal pay and glass ceilings. The feminization of poverty isn't just a catchy academic phrase, it's the lived reality for millions. Women constitute the majority of the world's poor, are more likely to be unemployed, and when they do work, they're often trapped in vulnerable positions. In South Asia, men are 3 times more likely to have good jobs. Even in wealthy nations, the pattern holds. 45% of single British parents live in poverty, and 90% of those parents are women. Until 1950, married British women were legally grouped with infants, lunatics, idiots, and insane persons for tax purposes. Within your grandmother's lifetime, women couldn't open bank accounts without male permission, couldn't keep their own wages, and were literally considered property, first of their fathers, then their husbands. Under medieval coverture laws, married women ceased to exist as legal individuals. Even their children belonged to their husbands. Until 1980, British women earning more than their husbands couldn't get loans without male guarantors. Until 1990, a married woman's income legally belonged to her husband, who reported it on his tax return, meaning lower-earning wives paid their husbands higher tax rate. The marriage bar forced women to quit jobs upon marriage well into the 1970s. Universities admitted women but wouldn't grant them degrees. The justification? Women were too feeble-minded for challenging work, and lectures might damage their wombs. These weren't fringe beliefs, they were institutional policy. Women supposedly can't invest, yet they outperform men by 1.94% annually versus men's 0.14%, potentially generating $10,000 more over 20 years on identical investments. Women trade less frequently, avoiding unnecessary fees, while men chase speculative bets and cling to losing stocks. Despite this, financial advisors consistently recommend lower-risk portfolios to women, assuming less knowledge and risk tolerance. The business world remains overwhelmingly male. 60% of companies have 0 female board members, fewer than 5% have female CEOs. When asked why, companies claim all the good women have been snapped up. Yet data shows companies with 3 or more women in leadership are more profitable, more creative, and experience fewer scandals. Despite this, less than 1% of investment capital goes to female-run startups. Investors ask women about mitigating risk while asking men about potential. Women must prove performance before receiving funding, while men receive investment based on perceived promise. Women outlive men by 4 to 7 years globally, yet pension systems punish them for it. Britain raised women's state pension age from 60 to 66 with inadequate notice, leaving 3.8 million women waiting up to 6 additional years, costing each up to $50,000. The UN reported this caused poverty, homelessness, and financial hardships, with some women becoming suicidal. Public sympathy was minimal. Many blamed these women for poor planning, conveniently forgetting they were 40 before they could pay their own taxes and 30 before they could get loans without male permission. They were raised to depend on men financially, not to make contingency plans. Meanwhile, employers shifted from guaranteed, defined benefit pensions to riskier, defined contribution schemes, particularly disadvantaging women who live longer. Britain's 350 largest companies spent 14 times more on shareholder dividends than on pensions. The issue isn't affordability, it's priorities. Pension contributions for women on maternity leave could close the gender pensions gap by 28% at just 4% of current pension tax relief spending. Only 15% of academic economists are women, making economics uniquely male-dominated among academic fields. This matters because economists shape government policy. Male economists worry more about government intervention and minimum wage impacts, while women economists support income equality, progressive taxation, and workers' rights, and question claims of equal opportunity. Mainstream economics, dubbed the malestream, was built on Adam Smith's theories developed while his mother ran his household unpaid. This evolved into economic man, the calculating individual motivated solely by self-interest, excluding feminine traits like love, generosity, and cooperation that actually sustain society. GDP became the primary well-being measure despite counting sex work while excluding unpaid domestic labor and childcare predominantly performed by women. Since 2010, 86% of British budget cuts have been borne by women, who lost $79 billion compared to men's $13 billion. Universal credit pays benefits to the highest earner, typically men, removing women's financial independence. MPs found this turns back the clock on decades of hard-won equality, yet the Department for Work and Pensions assessed it as gender-neutral. Women's products cost 7% more on average, with personal care items 13% higher. Identical helmets sell for $14.99 in blue, $27.99 in pink. Gillette's Venus razors cost 20% more than men's Fusion razors despite similar design. Women pay more for dry cleaning, haircuts, and car repairs, quoted $120 more on average for clutch replacements. One in seven British women experiences period poverty. One in five American girls misses school due to lack of menstrual products. The average woman spends $4,800 on period-related costs over her lifetime, then gets taxed on these necessities at rates up to 27%. Some U.S. states tax tampons while exempting gun club memberships and rodeo entry fees. British childcare ranks among the most expensive in OECD nations, sometimes exceeding rent. Nearly 90% of providers say government funding doesn't cover costs. British women perform more than double the unpaid childcare and housework men do. If paid, women would earn $259.63 weekly for unpaid work versus men's $166.63. The part-time penalty costs up to 25% less per hour than equivalent full-time roles. Only 27% of mothers return to full-time work 3 years after childbirth, compared to 90% of fathers. The gender pay gap persists across sectors: 9% for full-time workers, 18% overall, and 40% in banking. At least 25% of British companies pay women 20% less than men. When women dominate an occupation, wages fall. Australian childcare workers earn half what metal fitters make despite equivalent qualifications. In STEM, women hold only 20% of top-paid positions and earn 89 cents per dollar men make. Financial resilience is essential self-care. Build an emergency fund covering 3 to 6 months of expenses and calculate your net worth yearly. Follow the 50-30-20 rule: 50% to essentials, 20-30% to non-essentials, 20-30% to savings and debt repayment. Transfer savings immediately after payday. Never stop pension contributions, even during maternity leave or part-time work. The system undervalues women's work, but understanding it gives you power to navigate it. Your financial security isn't selfish, it's survival. Building wealth becomes an act of resistance. Every pound saved, every investment made, every financial decision you control reclaims the economic independence our grandmothers fought for. Start today.